picks of the week this week. We kind of breezed through our recap a little quicker than we normally would, but that's because we have a lot of games to pick. This is a big week, the last week of the regular season in the FBS.
Broke it into two episodes. This is just a pick episode.
That's right. This is just a pick episode. So we're going to pick. If there's a weird transition at the end of episode one there with my voice, just know that we're picking right back up here. And starting it off Thanksgiving evening, 9-2. And now granted, this is also a Monday night recording, just like last week. These rankings reflect last week's rankings prior to this past Saturday, because obviously CFP rankings come out tomorrow. But number 13, Ole Miss, 9-2, 5-6, Mississippi State playing for bowl eligibility without their head coach, Zach Arnett. Over under in this football game is 55.5. Ole Miss is favored by 10.5. I'm going to say this like I've always said many, many times. This is undoubtedly the most underrated rivalry in all of college football. I love this game. I love the Egg Bowl. This game is so devalued on a national landscape, and I hate it because I love this game. Maybe that's just because I'm from the South and I know what it's about.
That's because people in Ohio look at Mississippi and they think, Mississippi, not knowing that their state's worse.
Did you be talking about anybody in particular?
Why do I know who you're talking about?
All of Ohio. All of Ohio.
What do I know? One person specifically.
Why do we specifically know exactly who you're talking about?
Well, I mean, it's literally just all of Ohio. That's because everyone in Ohio has the same.
Let me say one thing about the Egg Bowl. I love the
Egg Bowl. Your last name starts with a Z. We're talking about you.
I love the Egg Bowl. I think it's one of the best rivalries in college football. I think it's a top, at the very least, top 10 rivalry. Might even be top 5.
It's top 10 in college football. Yes, top, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. But my problem with the Egg Bowl being on Thanksgiving is one of my traditions.
I hate it.
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's really cool. And I honestly don't think it would be as good of a rivalry on Saturday as it is on Thursday.
I love that it highlights it and gives them the spotlight.
I hate it.
I love that it gives them the spotlight.
My problem is one of my Thanksgiving traditions is after we eat at like 1 or 2, and after we eat, me, my cousin, and my brother, every single year for the last like 5 or 6 years, go to the movies. Every single year. It's usually later on that night. So we go to the movies at like 7:30. So usually I don't even get to watch the game until like halftime. And usually
you guys
it's
going to see Thursday.
We don't know yet. I think it's going to be the Hunger Games prequel that's out, which I didn't even know about until yesterday. But there's really not that many good movies out right now besides that. There's a couple that are kind of weird.
You go see the Thanksgiving horror movie.
Yeah, they keep dropping all these like holiday horror films every year now. I don't know why that's become a trend, but they're terrible. I've seen one and it was Krampus, and I did not enjoy Krampus. So,
yeah, I think my issue with it being on Thanksgiving is that everyone says, "Oh, it's tradition," but it's really not.
No, that's very new.
It's completely new, and I hate it.
They started doing that when Matt, Luke, and Dan Mullen were there. Like right after Hugh
right
Freeze got
there,
fired.
Yeah.
I don't think Hugh Freeze played a Thursday night game.
Hugh Freeze did.
Did?
Yeah. They did it originally, like late 90s. I remember Eli. I think it was Eli's senior year. Junior year. One of the two.
I wasn't alive.
Yeah, you were. His senior year was like 2003.
Matt.
Oh, I was very young.
Let me ask you this. Since we're gonna
I was
take,
10.
We're going to take a while on this pick anyway.
I was in full. Yeah, go
I'll
ahead.
Be six.
Would you like it better if it was a Friday night game?
Yes. I would be okay if it was the Black Friday night game.
Usually that's the war on I-4, though.
The thing I think that it would be better. I mean, I know that they've got so many. Here's the problem with the Egg Bowl. From a national relevance scale, it generally isn't a game that has a lot on the plate for a New York Six, or and not New York. New, I'm still concussed. A New Year's Six Bowl. It's not a game that often has New Year's Six ramifications or national championship ramifications, whereas Florida State has a lot. Iron Bowl does a lot. Ohio State, Michigan does a lot. Georgia Tech never does, but It's going to
don't use that.
No, I'm just throwing that out there as like
that game shouldn't be played anymore.
It shouldn't. But if, at noon, what would get better ratings? The Egg Bowl, like all three of these games would be on at the same time at noon. Egg Bowl, Ohio State, Michigan, and Georgia, Georgia Tech.
Ohio State,
Michigan's going to get the
Georgia
pool, and then Georgia's going to get the second best pool, and then you're going to have the noon game of Mississippi State and Ole Miss on SEC Network that gets people like me who have a reason to watch it.
That's why I like it on Thursday, though, because there's always weird stuff that happens with the Egg Bowl. It's hardly ever just a beat down.
I think it gives the Egg Bowl its national flowers.
But that's why
by putting it on Thanksgiving. Because the only thing you're competing with
is
an NFL game.
Which has so much more of a massive market than so you're still getting smoked in
different audiences though. Honestly.
Yes.
Different audiences.
But I still think you're
this is a college football diehards game versus the NFL.
You know what?
Thursday.
That's probably why that's the Thursday night game, because there's not any NFL fans in Mississippi.
Sure, there is
not
but
real, they're not Saints real fans. NFL fans. Yeah. Not real NFL fans.
There's a lot of Saints fans. There's a lot of Saints fans in Mississippi.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for proving my point, Matt. I appreciate it. Saints fans are not real NFL fans. They're just terrible
but
people.
I would say the reason I dislike it being on Thursday, and I feel like most Ole Miss fans, at least that I've talked to, carry the same sentiment. It used to be that you always plan on going to the Egg Bowl if you're a season ticket holder. Now, a lot of times, familial circumstances don't allow that to happen. So, like in 2020, when it was on Saturday, there was actually more people that were like, yes, I'm glad it's on Saturday this year, even though it was a COVID year. They preferred, and the energy was there. I mean, there's still a lot of hate, but for the Egg Bowl, there was a lot more. There was more people that I heard that were like, I'm glad it's on Saturday. I don't care that we're playing at 7 o'clock on SEC Network. That's fine. Like, let us be in this spot.
I will say, though, I think that game was also propped up by Kiffin and Leach's first year.
For sure. But as long as Lane Kiffin's there, it's and like on a year like this year, 9-2 Ole Miss. Last year is a reason why I hate it, because Ole Miss played against Arkansas on Saturday. In Fayetteville, didn't get back to Oxford until like 4 a.m. Sunday morning, and then they've got to turn around and play a very hated in-state rivalry on a short rest like that. While Mississippi State played a noon cupcake game Saturday before and kind of could look over it. It's just one of those things.
That's why
where
Ole Miss should schedule their cupcake games before that game. That's on
which
them.
They did this year.
They did this year,
and they did that because Lane Kiffin made a big stink about, hey, it's a definite competitive advantage that we were in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and that our players were in a competitive SEC game. I mean, they were in boat race, but they're trying to come back from down 42-6, and so his offensive players ran 96 snaps on Saturday. Don't get back until 4 a.m. on Sunday morning, and they've got to turn around and play against State on Thursday. And anyways, that's enough of
However, Mississippi State is now playing back-to-back in-state games.
Yes, they are.
And this is just for the Mississippi State people. I thought the boys from Hattiesburg were going to beat them. I did. They had a lead early.
They played hard.
Will Hall's got a lot of work to do.
Well, Will Hall had a really good first and second year.
Not going well this year.
Not going well now. And
conference.
What's that?
Tougher conference.
Oh, for sure. And quite frankly, in the state of Mississippi, they're third on the totem pole when it comes to football. They're Georgia Southern.
Oh, yeah.
They're Georgia Southern.
Georgia and Mississippi college football ranks pretty much mirror each other. Yeah, it's like much. Mississippi State is Tech, Georgia's whatever. Just give your damn synopsis already. By the way, just a reminder for 10 minutes later, it's 55.5 point total, and Ole Miss is favored by 10.5 in Starkville.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of prerequisite for these picks. Let's just say that, but I love it. This is a game.
Love Mississippi.
It deserves to be talked about. It's a huge game. That's why we pick it every single year. I think we're all going to pick the same team. I'm going to pick Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin's a better coach than who the hell is coaching Mississippi State. We don't even know unless you said it and I missed you saying it, Chad. But They got some interim guy.
I don't know. I don't care.
Exactly.
Actually, do know. I just can't remember his name because I'm concussed.
Even if Zach Arnett. I don't care. Even if a concussed Matt was coaching Ole Miss, they would still win. They would still win this game. So I think Jackson Dart has a huge day. Is the game in Oxford?
No, it's in Starkville.
It's in Starkville? All right, well. I'd say cover-wise, maybe it'll be close, because I've heard those cowbells before, and my ears have been ringing for the last year and a half since then. So I'm still going to say Ole Miss. Jackson Dart has a big day. Look for Trey Harris to go off, and Judkins is the man. He's going to have over 100 yards. And Matt, who are you picking? Oh, wait, Chad, who are you picking? Sorry, Matt's concussed.
That's an alumni.
Chad.
Matt's an alumni, damn it. You always pick Georgia last. Know, I always pick Florida last.
We've already given the whole synopsis for the game. We don't need... It's not like it's a big game.
Damn it. Tradition, boy.
Okay. All right. Pick.
Tradition. I'm picking Ole Miss. I'm with Witt. I think that because this game is so high up, and this is very much a Florida type situation for Mississippi State. They're going to win this game to be bowl eligible. But I think the reality of it is, I think that Mississippi State can cover or at least hang around that cover. But their offense is just anemic. It's so bad. And Ole Miss is just so much better than them. Yeah, Starkville's going to be popping. But at the end of the day, there's too much talent on Ole Miss's offense. Ole Miss's defense is spotty, and it can be. Mississippi State's offense, like I said, dude, it's just so anemic this year that there's really not a chance for them to really put up any offense in this game enough to probably keep up. As far as I know, Will Rogers isn't playing, right, Matt? Still.
He is playing. Yeah,
he is playing?
He started this past Saturday.
Okay. Well, see, I wouldn't know that because I just don't care about Starkville. At this point, I'm trying to piss off everybody in Starkville, so I'm going to say as much negative things as I can. But I think Mississippi State, with Will Rogers now, that makes a little bit of difference. I think Mississippi State can cover because this is a rivalry game, but at the end of the day, Ole Miss is just too good. They're way better than Mississippi State. They get their revenge from last year, and they win the Egg Bowl. Matthew.
I will say that I've seen this game get very weird, i.e. last year. Last year was very weird. Ole Miss never should have lost that game last year. If Lane Kiffin loses this game this year, it's a disappointment. Ole Miss has to win. Ole Miss should win. I think 10 is a very 10 and a half is very fair. It's not going to be a blowout. It might be a 10-point win. Mississippi State fans as a whole are very, very proud of their bowl streak. Even though one of those was a 3-win season in 2020 where they went 3-7.
That ended in a brawl.
They went 3-7 and then they won their bowl game. So they somehow got a bowl game then. And then they went when they were 5-7 one year. And
beat Miami of Ohio in Tropicana Field.
And so they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, we've been to 13 straight bowl games or however many it is. I really don't care. Ole Miss is playing, like, so everyone's saying, like, Mississippi State's playing for something. Ole Miss is playing for something bigger. Ole Miss is playing for their second 10-win regular season in 3 years, and since, like, for the first time since the 1960s. So they had never won 10 regular season games. Lane Kiffin year two does it. Last year was last year, and this year they've got a chance to do it again. Ole Miss, Adi Toddy, gonna be pulling for the boys, watching the game on Thursday night in my powder blue, and hoping that the Rebs come out victorious over those rednecks from Starkville.
So moving on to a place that doesn't nearly have as many rednecks, the state of Oregon, in a rivalry that will only be called the Civil War on this podcast. Number 11, 8-3, Oregon State. Number 6. 10-1 Oregon. This game is in Eugene. Is on Black Friday. Big Fox, not FS1. Big Fox, 8:30. Over under in this game, 62.5. Surprisingly, even after the showing that Oregon State had this past Saturday, Oregon is a 13.5 point favorite. Witt.
So Oregon at home. Bo Nix is rolling. I don't know if you guys watched what Oregon did last week. They look so good. They look really good. Legitimately, I think Oregon is a team that could win a national championship this year. They look really, really good. And honestly, if you put them in the playoff right now with Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State or Michigan, I think they have the best quarterback. Texas, too, best quarterback. Now with FSU, without Jordan Travis, best quarterback. That's pretty scary for Oregon. They need this one. I think they win big. I think 13.5 is very low for what they're going to do. And I understand it. Oregon State's good. They're very physical. They played Washington super, super tough. But Oregon is a better team than Washington. We've seen that down the stretch. I think if they played that game again from, what was that, like week? That was October 14th, so probably about a month ago now. If they played that game again, which they're going to, Oregon beats the brakes off of Washington, and I think that does happen next week. We'll talk about it next week, obviously, but I'm going Oregon here. I think Oregon wins by 20. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, so with this game being in Autzen and Eugene, I think that that puts a huge advantage for the Ducks. Jonathan Smith, I've got to give my round of applause to him because the Beavs are playing at a clip that I don't think we've seen in a very, very long time. Oregon State is playing outstanding football this year, and they're a good football team. And we saw that last year. They're a good football team. And quite frankly, had a chance, had the ball with a chance to win. I'll be honest, to go back for a minute on the Washington game last week, I didn't love how they got so conservative at the end of the game where they were like, we're going to run it. We're going to try and stay ahead of the chains, and we just don't want to give them the ball back. I feel like with the way that they had the momentum going on offense, you go down and you score because you need to. And if you're able to run clock along the way, then great, but don't put yourself in a spot where you wind up in second and 13, and then you don't get any yard. It's third and long, and then it's fourth and long. It just becomes a massive issue. And nonetheless,
Matt's kids are here.
Hey, Lucy, how's it going?
So, Lucy, let me ask you a question. Who's going to win this week, Oregon or Oregon State?
Oregon State.
Ooh.
Lucy picks Oregon State.
Upset pick.
I'm in the upset.
I'm going with Oregon. I'm with Witt. Oregon looks legit. Now, the only thing I will say is Oregon's schedule since that Washington game has been a little suspect. Their toughest game since then has been Utah, and we've seen that Utah has definitely slipped a notch in recent weeks. Their defense isn't playing as well. Their offense isn't rolling. They got absolutely steamrolled by Arizona this past weekend. So that's the only tough opponent that Oregon has had recently. So we'll see. On this weekend, but it's a home game for Oregon. We know Autzen gets loud. They'll have the decibel meter reading like 150 or something crazy, which it's got to be fake. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. Dan Lanning's got the boys and Eugene rolling. I've got the Ducks winning this one by, I think it's going to be closer than the 13.5. I think it's going to be like a 10-point game.
So I think Lucy's going to be the only one who is picking the Beavers because I'm picking the Ducks as well. As I think Lucy's going to join the show here, actually. Lucy's... Everybody, round of applause for Lucy. Just want that... Put that on record. I'm going to put it down. Lucy is picking Oregon State this week. But I'm going with the Ducks, like I just said. I think Bo Nix and company are way too good right now. Does anybody know that Bo Nix's touchdown interception ratio is plus 33? It's 35 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions this year. That is unreal. He's going to have a seat in New York. Bo Nix is not, we talked about it all year, he is not the same quarterback that he used to be in the Plains at Auburn. What a great job they had done with him out there in Eugene. This game being in Eugene, I think Oregon State, there's going to be two ways that this goes. Oregon State comes out with their hair on fire because to try to eliminate Oregon from the Pac-12 championship. Because if Oregon loses, Arizona goes. Should Arizona beat Arizona State in the Territorial Cup this weekend? Which I'm not picking that game, but I fully believe that they're going to win that game. Or Oregon State's really deflated after a heartbreaking loss at home that ended their Pac-12 championship hopes and probably New Year's Six opportunity as well, and Oregon smokes them. And this game's in Eugene, so I think the former is going to happen. Oregon probably wins by 2 touchdowns, maybe 3. I think they pull away late. I think Oregon State will play tough throughout this game. But I don't see Oregon State being able to hang with Oregon in Eugene. I don't know if this is the last Civil War. I know the Apple Cup, Washington and Wazoo signed a deal through 2028 to keep that game going, even with them leaving to go to the Big Ten. I don't know if that's going to be the same for Civil War, but I hope it does, especially if Oregon State continues to be this good. I hope Civil War continues. But I'm picking Oregon to win, and we are moving on now to the game.
Wait, Chad. Real quick, before you start the next picks, I just want to pour one out for Chad for knowing so many dang rivalry games. It's incredible. The Territorial Cup, I still don't... You just said what it was, and I've already forgotten. I have no idea.
Arizona State.
Who knows that? No one knows the name of that rivalry.
Yeah, they do.
No one knows
that. Hey, it's also... It's old Oak and Bucket Week, baby.
Yeah.
It's old Oak and Bucket Week.
You tell me that every year. I still don't know.
Indiana at noon.
I still don't know what game
that is. I love that trophy.
I still don't know what game that... It also, Big Ten... You know, Big Ten West especially sucks at football. Very good at naming rivalry.
Great trophies.
Games. Very good at naming rivalry.
Great trophies.
What game are we on?
Oregon State, but Whit was pouring. Matt really is concussed.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
No, we just finished Oregon State.
Well, I did a quick pour one out for Chad for knowing so many dang rivalry games. We do this every year.
Oh, yeah. It's classic. He does. He knows all the names.
He does. He knows the you know what the Territorial Cup is?
Territorial Cup?
Yeah. See, no one knows that, Chad. No one knows that.
I know the Apple Cup.
Yeah. I know the Apple Cup. It's Arizona State.
Keg of Nails, Cincinnati, Louisville.
Which, for the record,
I do know that one.
Cool. If Lucy is correct on her pick, by the way, Arizona wins the Territorial Cup, or so Chad says. Arizona goes to the Pac-12 championship.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that? If Oregon State beats Oregon, Arizona goes.
So it would be Arizona, Washington.
Washington's already in. They can lose the Apple Cup this week and they're good.
That's how concussed I am. I had to think about it for a second. I'm like, all right, who is good in the Pac-12? Almost said USC just out of habit.
But all right, moving on.
When I go 0-for in my picks this week.
Well, no, I think we're good on these first two.
We've been on the same.
But I'm putting Lucy's name down.
Oh God.
I'm actually gonna go downstairs after this is over and get all of Lucy's picks and see how she does this week. I'm gonna get 8 games from Lucy.
Yeah, bring Lucy in at the very end and we'll let her do it on there.
But anyway, moving on from all the rivalry and talk about children. What a wonderful moment we just had for Lucy making her first ever pick on Rowdy Southern Saturday.
Still proud of her.
Yeah, I was gonna say a proud father.
Proud dad.
Proud father and a proud Uncle Grimace.
Proud
up
Uncle
there
Grimace
in Marietta.
Right. Proud Uncle Grimace. What Grimace wants, Grimace gets, and Grimace wants Lucy's picks.
Anyway, God, that sounded so weird. All right, moving on. We got 3 noon games that we're gonna pick, and I'm gonna go with the non-rivalry one first, or at least non-in-state rivalry type thing. 7-4 Texas A&M going on the road to Baton Rouge. ESPN noon at number 15. 8-3 LSU. Over under in this game is 66 and a half. LSU is favored by 10.5. Whit.
Honestly, this game, the last couple years has been very up in the air. It really doesn't matter who the best team is. It's kind of just whoever shows up. I mean, last year, LSU was a way better team than Texas A&M was. Texas A&M ended up being a 5-win team, and they still beat LSU to end the season. So I think LSU is a way better team. I mean, watching them week to week, A&M hasn't done anything to make me think that they are a really good football team. But they don't have a head coach. They don't have the first string or second string quarterback unless Max Johnson's coming back, which I don't think he is. So I'm going to say LSU, who, by the way, Jaden Daniels, this is the main reason for this pick, honestly. He should win the Heisman, and it shouldn't even be close. He's the best running back and quarterback in college football, and it's not even close. Just give him the trophy. Herbie pissed me off. I tweeted about it. He pissed me off when he said the Pac-12 championship should decide the Heisman. Completely disagree. It should have already been decided by now. So Jaden Daniels is going to go off. throw for another 350 yards, run for another 150, and end his Heisman campaign on the right foot. It'll go to New York and win it with hopefully Carson Beck watching from the crowd. Matt, here's your pick.
Yeah, so I'm going LSU here. Now, I'll be honest, if Jimbo Fisher was coaching this game, I was sneakily already planning on picking A&M just because this game last year in Kyle Field, it got weird and A&M season had kind of fallen away from them. But I kind of think that that's part of the reason why A&M went ahead and fired Jimbo is because they were scared that they were going to wind up winning last week against Abilene Christian, somehow beating LSU, and then they're going to be looking at an 8-win season by beating winning a bowl game, and then everyone's going to be like, "Oh, we can't fire Jimbo now. He's got the team in the right direction." But I'm going Jaden Daniels for he's obviously very deserving of the Heisman Trophy. That Georgia State game was kind of weird for LSU. It was 14-14 midway through the second quarter. And then next thing you know, you look down and it's 35-14 and LSU's finally taking control and it became the Jaden Daniels show. Like, honestly, the easiest job in the world or in the country right now is LSU offensive coordinator, because you just say, "Jaden, don't turn the ball over and run whatever you want. Like, just, hey, you guys, y'all go run routes and Jaden Daniels is going to run around and either throw it to you or run for 100 yards and a touchdown." He is unbelievably talented and a sneaky pick. The Falcons should draft him in the first round as the quarterback. They won't. They'll draft, can't even think of anybody right now.
They'll draft a running back.
I was thinking defensive lineman.
Yeah, but that would make too much sense.
So, I'm going LSU here. Kind of big.
I'm with you guys. I really don't have a whole lot of different things to say because Jaden Daniels is just going to do Jaden Daniels. And this is going to be his last game in Baton Rouge. Senior day for those guys. 11 a.m. kickoff. Those can be weird. But overall, LSU can't stop anybody. I'm thinking about, what year was that? 72-70? 2019. Yeah. I'm thinking about a scoring game like that. This could get wild. I mean, LSU can't stop anyone, so it doesn't really matter who's playing at quarterback for Texas A&M. But the fact of the matter is, can Texas A&M stop Jaden Daniels? And no one has been able to do that so far this year. And he should win the Heisman. He should win the Heisman, and he should be the first quarterback taken off the board in next year's draft. Say it week in and week out, nothing changes. The kid is just unreal, and I've said it so many times, but I have to say it again. How, if you're Herm Edwards, did you not get that right with him? Like, how could you?
I will say, he was pretty good at Arizona State. He was solid. They just were a really bad team.
He wasn't this good.
He just didn't have any. He didn't have NFL talent around him. He didn't have Malik Nabers running around and catching passes for him.
Who was Arizona State? Did have that one pretty solid receiver. What was his name? You know what I'm talking about?
I'm concussed, Chad, and you're asking me to go back 4 years.
Do you remember who I'm talking about, though, Witt?
Yeah.
He's on the. He's on the Patriots.
Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk was at Arizona State, wasn't he? Number one.
Yeah, but I think it was a different one. I can't remember his name. It might have been Brandon Ayuk, but
no.
Anyway, this is not about Arizona State. This is about LSU. And I'm picking LSU. Give me the Tigers. I think this would be a shootout. I think Texas A&M covers, but overall, I think that their defense is, or excuse me, not their defense. That LSU's offense is way too good for Texas A&M to stop them. And this game's at home. I think Jaden Daniels leaves Baton Rouge a legend and has a ridiculous game. But did you find his name yet?
I'm working on it.
I want to know. I don't care if I'm in the middle of a pick. Stop and interrupt me with that kid's name.
Brandon Ayuk was drafted in 2020. N'Keal Harry was drafted in 2019.
N'Keal Harry. That's exactly who I was thinking about. I was thinking about N'Keal Harry.
They also had That's Frank Darby too, who's on the who got drafted to the Falcons. I think he's still on the, or no, he's not. Yeah. He's not on the Falcons anymore. But he wasn't that bad.
My point. Yeah, but N'Keal Harry and Brandon Ayuk,
they had those three guys.
And Jaden. Yeah. And Herm Edwards did what? Their offense was abysmal.
Yeah, they couldn't.
They had that one game where they upset. They had that one. Yeah, they had that one game where they upset Oregon, and that was it. they didn't do anything else during Herm Edwards' tenure. That's bad. That's really bad. Moving on, though, to what's the name of this rivalry?
I don't know what game it is.
Oh, that's a good point. Moving on. Moving on to the Governor's Cup. 6-5 Kentucky going into Louisville, just up the state. Number 10. 10-1 are the Cardinals. Pretty solid win on the road against Miami this past week. Jeff Brohm and the boys are going to the ACC championship game, and now they can round it out with a victory. With a victory against their cross-state rivals. ABC, noon. Louisville favored by 7. Over-under in this game is 50.5. Whit, get it started.
What a huge disappointment Devin Leary has been in Kentucky. Coming off a loss to South Carolina. In South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, very tough place to play. Williams-Brice.
3-0, by the way. 3-0 on that pick, by the way.
Yeah, 3-0. Us, we all picked that game. But Kentucky, since getting beat by Georgia, and honestly, I feel like this happens every single year for Mark Stoops, and I almost feel bad, but I don't. Every year when they play Georgia, they come in rolling. They're undefeated. They're ranked high. They look good. Devin Leary hasn't looked good all season, but they at least looked like they were going to be a team to beat in the SEC East, potentially the number 2 team in the SEC East. And since then, they've been awful. They have not looked good any at all. They got destroyed by Alabama. They got beat by South Carolina last week, who is teetering on if they're going to keep Shane Beamer or not. I just don't think they're a good football team. Louisville rolls in. They're an 11 or a 10-win team. They're 10-1. Their only loss coming in a bad, weird loss to Virginia, right? Pitt. Or Pitt, that's right. A weird loss to Pitt. He's at the very bottom of the ACC.
That was coming off of a big win against Notre Dame.
Yeah, coming off the huge win against Notre Dame.
On the road, and it was monsooning.
Yeah, it is what it is. Louisville's a really good team. Miami played them tough last week. They ran Miami. Not that that matters that much because they play at the Dolphin Stadium, so you can't hear anybody anyway. But they're a good football team. Jeff Brohm, Louisville alumni, comes in. He does amazing things at Louisville. Louisville, in my opinion, should be competing in the ACC championship for a playoff spot when they do. The problem is, there's so many other teams that are doing so well that it's just not going to happen. So they're not going to be doing that, but I do think they're going to roll into the ACC championship with some confidence, especially knowing that Jordan Travis is not going to be playing for Florida State. I think Louisville has a real chance to win the ACC, and I think they know that going into this weekend. And the better they look against Kentucky, the better they'll feel against Florida State. So I got Louisville. I think they win pretty big. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I've been down bad on Kentucky all year. Like I said at the beginning of the season, I'll believe in Kentucky when I see it, and they never showed it to me. Look, Devin Leary, massive disappointment. Louisville's playing really good football. They finally got a guy that believes in Louisville, that is a Louisville guy, in Jeff Brohm. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of counting him out because he was at Purdue. But, I mean, what do you expect from a guy at Purdue? Like, I mean,
went to the Big Ten championship game.
I mean, but what I'm saying is like they, like that, they were people who were like, yeah, Jeff Brohm needed to leave from Purdue or needed to be fired from Purdue or whatever because it tapped out their potential. And it's the same thing with like Tom Allen at Indiana. There's only so much you can get out of a certain job, and he squeezed every ounce of juice he could out of the Purdue job. He goes to Louisville, who, honestly, I feel like gets overlooked as a school that really, really puts an emphasis on winning in football. They're a blue blood in basketball. They want to win in football. They've shown it over and over again with Petrino and going to Orange Bowls, New Year's Six Bowls, joining the ACC. I like Louisville to win this game for multiple reasons. And I really think that it's setting up the ACC championship to be something special. Not necessarily a playoff spot on the line for Louisville because that's a really bad loss against Pitt, even though it does come off the heels of a great win. And it's a bad loss. And you can't have those in college football when there's only 4 spots for playoff spots. So, and quite frankly, I don't think that they would compete with any of the other teams that are playoff contenders. I don't think they'd beat any of them. So, Louisville, great story, great team. I think they win, and they make things really interesting next week with presumably Florida State.
That game's already locked in. Yeah, that game's locked in because both these teams are playing SEC opponents. Yeah. I'm with you guys. We're going Cardinals across the board here. We haven't flexed.
This is not good.
We haven't flexed at all. We have all picked the same team on every single one of our picks so far. This is not good.
Which is fine for me because I've got a 5-game
lead. Yeah, Matt's got a lead. Don't worry. I'm going to differ somewhere that's probably going to piss some people off. I can already tell you that right now. But I'm going with Louisville as well. They haven't won this game in a few years. Am I correct? Kentucky's actually won this game the past couple of years. I don't think Satterfield beat Kentucky at all. I could be wrong. I know they didn't play in 2020, but I don't think Satterfield had a win against Kentucky. Someone please fact check that for me while I'm making my pick. But I'm going to go Jeff Brohm here. Look, Jack Plummer has been one of the better transfer stories in the entire country. And he looked really good against Miami this week. He has gotten better as the season has progressed. Now he does have 10 interceptions, which is somehow more than Devin Leary has, because Devin Leary only has 9. But Kentucky's offense is not good enough to keep up with how good Louisville's offense has been this year. In fact, Louisville's kind of played complimentary football this year. Very low-key. I don't think people are giving Louisville's defense a ton of credit, mainly because it's the ACC and there's not a lot of standout offenses in that conference. But even against Miami, they gave up 31 points, but overall they thought they had a solid game defensively and got stops and made stops when they needed to win the football game. Louisville's offense is really solid. Jack Plummer has looked really solid. Great story for Louisville. I think they'll win this game and they'll be 11-1. And I think, like Whit just said, with Florida State not having Jordan Travis going into Charlotte next week, very good opportunity for them to win that game. But we'll talk about that game next week when we make our championship picks. I'm going Louisville. And Whit, did you find anything out?
You were right. Scott Satterfield never beat Kentucky.
I did not think he did.
0-4.
So yeah, and even better. Like Kentucky's, like Matt said last week, Matt put Kentucky on quit watch. We were all exactly right. They couldn't win in Columbia, and now with the season Louisville's having to go on the road in a rivalry game like this, with as good as Louisville is, I do not think that there's going to be a lot of blue in that stadium. It's going to be mostly red, and I got Louisville winning this game. Now, big noon game. Big noon kickoff, Fox. College Game Day is going to be there. Josh Pate's going to be there. There's rumblings that the Rowdy Southern Saturday podcast is going to buy last-minute plane tickets, and they're going to be there.
Those rumblings are wrong.
You're not.
Yeah, those rumblings are wrong. I'm definitely... We're not going to Michigan.
Is it a Southern Saturday? I don't think so. No.
Well, I mean, it's south of Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
For hockey, it's Southern.
I was about to say for what's his name not Ryan Whitney, but the other guy, Scott Bissonette, that goes on the Pardon My Take podcast a lot. He considers Colorado to be Southern.
No, that's not true.
No, he does. He's like, oh, you know, the South, like the Avalanche. Like, no, man, the Avs are not a Southern team.
No.
He's Canadian.
Everybody knows that the South's team is the Preds.
He's Canadian. I think everything in America is technically Southern to him.
Except Alaska,
which is technically, it should except be Alaska. Canada's probably.
Honestly, yeah.
We should trade it.
But we needed that. We needed that oil.
True.
Fox, number 2, 11-0, Ohio State, noon kickoff. Number 3, Michigan at 11-0. Michigan, the 3.5-point favorite in this game, 46.5 over-under. Huge game, playoff implications. Huge game for Ryan Day. Huge game, ironically, for the future of both these coaches. We don't know what's going to happen with Ryan Day if he loses this game again. We also don't know if Jim Harbaugh is coming back to Michigan next year. A lot of big implications on this game. It started.
I think you saw what happened to Michigan last week with Maryland. Maryland, I watched that game from start to finish. Got to, thanks to COVID. Thank you, COVID. But Maryland made Michigan look like a bad football team. They played at Maryland. Maryland, Talia Tagovailoa has been there for maybe 35 years. We're not sure. So he's, you know, he knows what he's doing. He slung the ball around. But Michigan couldn't move the ball on offense at all against Maryland defense that I think is absolutely terrible. They're at the very bottom of the Big Ten. So to go and play Ohio State, who's got a really, really solid defense this year, even though I think Michigan – year in and year out has a matchup advantage over Ohio State because they play tougher, hard-nosed football. I think Ohio State did what they had to do on defense going into this season to beat Michigan. And that's what Ohio State has been doing from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, is playing stop Michigan football, because they don't want Michigan running down their throats this year. So I don't think it's going to happen. I like J.J. McCarthy more than I like Kyle McCord, but I like Ohio State's receivers more than I like Michigan's receivers. I also hate Michigan. They've been pissing me off all season. This whole crybaby free Jim Harbaugh bit they have going on is really pissing me off. I can't stand it. Their interim head coach, Sharon, whatever his last name is that I've already forgotten, dude's a loser. These guys suck. I got Ohio State. I think Ohio State wins in the Big House. I think it's a close game, but I think Ohio State pulls away at the end, same way Michigan did last year. I'm going to say Ohio State by at least 14 points. Matt.
Very emphatic statements right there.
What did you say the over-under is, 55 and a half?
I thought I said 46 and a half.
I feel an under for that. Oh, 46 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, 46 and a half. I feel an under on that.
Yeah, maybe.
I still think it's an under because this to me feels like one of those ugly 2017 kind of games, 24-17 kind of games, because neither team's offense is incredibly explosive. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. is explosive, and that's where I don't want Ohio State fans, because I know that it's going to be coming if I say, oh, Ohio State's offense isn't really all that explosive. Marvin Harrison Jr. is explosive. Well, they don't really have redneck accents.
Travion Henderson,
Harrison
too.
Jr. is explosive.
Travion Henderson, too. Like let's throw that name out there before they get really pissed.
They've got great players who can make explosive plays, but their offense is not explosive in and of itself. It's an offense that has playmakers on it that can make plays, but this is two defenses that are built to stop games like to play in games like this, to stop offenses like this. And quite frankly, I feel like this is going to be very reminiscent of like the Notre Dame game that Ohio State played in, which is just going to be a slog. The thing with Michigan is, and I understand Witt has a deep hate for Michigan. I don't really hate them. Like I could care less.
It's just this season. I normally don't hate Michigan. Normally, I mean, this better not get out because I hope Ryan's not listening. I would cheer for Michigan over Ohio State any week or any year. But I don't like Jim Harbaugh, and I don't like their whole little, after the whole sign stealing thing, they got this whole
us against the world thing.
Yeah, I can't stand that. Like, I understand, you know, you don't want
to admit to it. Very Clemson-y, isn't it?
It's very Clemson-y. It's just like, oh, I'm not a big fan of that at all. Like, I understand not wanting to bring attention to it, but they're bringing more attention to it by acting like they're the victim in this situation, when obviously they're not. Obviously, this was all on Michigan, and they're still acting like yes. I don't know. That's why, okay.
I mean,
that being said, I don't hate Michigan. I hate them right now.
I feel like that's their way of keeping the locker room together, though. I feel like Kirby Smart would do the same thing if he was in the same position.
I don't know.
It's the way you keep the locker room together. Everybody else.
There's another way to do it.
They on track here.
Nonetheless, all things considered, I think Ohio State does win a close one. They've kind of been disrespected this year, and everyone had crowned because Michigan is rolling through all these opponents. I feel like Michigan was disrespected. Ohio State was disrespected by a lot of people, and it feels very much like 2 years ago when Michigan won that game for the first time in a long time, where Ohio State had just been penciled into the playoff, and then Michigan comes along and wins the Big Ten and is undefeated, and everyone's like, wait a second, now it's Michigan that actually is in the playoff. Feels very much that way for Ohio State, and I know Ohio State's been ranked higher than Michigan's since the playoff ranking has been coming out, but it's the 2-3 game, and with all the stuff that's going around in Michigan, I think what you saw in the Maryland game is just a combination of not having Harbaugh there to make the adjustments that he would generally make. And two, last year and the year before last, Michigan did not play very well against the opponent that they played the week leading into the Ohio State game. So There is that. I do think Michigan plays up to par. It's not hard to get hyped up for this game. This game means a lot because if Michigan gets in, presumably Jim Harbaugh will be coaching for the college football playoff and the Big Ten championship. So this is game three. He agreed to a three-game suspension. This is game three, two of the three being Penn State and Ohio State. If Michigan somehow wins, watch out for Michigan and making a legit run and us hearing the everyone against us. But I got Ohio State.
I actually changed my pick as you guys were talking. And I am also staying with the trend of five games in, none of us have picked any different.
Dang it.
Because I was going to pick Michigan, but I don't know. I let you guys talk me out of it. I don't really know how much I believe in it, but like I let you guys talk me out of it. If anything, I'm just trying to, if Witt and I both lose, I'd rather us be even than me lose a game. Because we're tied right now. So
I get a one game handicap because you get to pick last. You've picked last all year. That is the best spot to be in.
I always pick last. Exactly. We've always picked last.
That's what I'm saying.
I've always picked last.
Exactly.
Well, that's not true. Ever since Keys stopped taking the reins and leading us into picks, I've picked last because I've been talking. So about gapping it out and you've giving done well. Myself an and opportunity. You've done well.
But yeah. I get a one game handicap. You can listen to me and Matt. You listen to me and Matt's takes on it before you make your pick.
That's true. It's true. I will say this. I think Michigan possesses the better offense in this game. I think they possess the better quarterback in this game. I think Michigan can match Ohio State's ability to throw the ball with their ability to run the ball and keep defenses on their heels. However, what Matt said made me change my mind. We haven't really talked about Ohio State all year, have we? We just kind of brushed Ohio State under the rug and kind of been like, yeah, they'll get there. They'll be all right. And I think that Ryan Day's coaching for his job because I think Witt has a point. I think it would be stupid, but at the same time, if he loses three straight to Michigan and allows Michigan to go to the playoff and like you're going to say something, Matt.
Here you go.
Yeah. I really do. I feel like Ryan Day's coaching for his job, and then he has to win this game. Because I think the loser of this game does not have a strong enough strength of record with all the teams like Alabama and Washington and Oregon and Texas and, I mean, even Louisville. I don't think Louisville's got a chance, but just adding a fifth team stacked up behind them like that, I don't think they have the strength of resume to win, to lose this game and still go to the playoff with one loss. I don't see it. It's not there for me for those teams to get in. It's not like last year where Ohio State was the clear number four to be put in to play Georgia. It's not there this year. They don't have the strength of record. But like I said, I think Ohio State feels disrespected. I think they have the better defense. And I think Ohio State wins a very low-scoring football game. I mean, 17-13, 20-13. What did you call it? A slog?
Slog.
A slog.
What a great word.
Yes. Ohio State wins the slog. But moving on, game number six. This rivalry is known as deeper than hate, and it's very at home for all of us. 6-5, our Georgia Southern Eagles, going to Boone, North Carolina, who had a big win last week to the App State Mountaineers. 7-4, ESPN 330. App State is favored by 9 in this football game. Over-under on this game, 63.5. And I would just say this, we're not picking this game strictly because we went to Georgia Southern, because this is actually, in my opinion, the top group of five rivalry in all of college football. And there may be a little bias behind that, but
that's very biased.
It's very
that's very biased.
But either way, but
it's okay.
I think it's a top G5 rivalry. I really do. But Witt, get it going.
This is one reason I hate that our picks actually count this year, because I can't just blindly pick Georgia Southern. So I've watched Georgia Southern the last couple of weeks. We look so bad. I mean, it makes me want to throw up. The fact that we lost to Old Dominion at home by three. Old Dominion, who was a four-loss team, now a five-loss team. Makes me sick. We're going to App State. We don't even get them at home. We beat them last year to keep them out of going to a bowl game. I think they do the same to us this year. I mean, we're already going to a bowl game, but I think they beat us at home. They've looked better. They're coming off the win over James Madison. App State's not a great football team, but I'll be honest, man. Davis Brin's just so bad. I can't. Georgia Southern's not rolling like we were at the beginning of the year, so I'm taking App State. I hate to do it, but I got to do it to stay in the pick. So, Matt, who you got?
You know, I applaud you, Witt.
Can't believe he did that.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard Witt not take Georgia Southern.
I have to.
I can't believe he did
that. I
have
to pick Georgia Southern, well, but I can't do it.
I can't
time.
Believe he did that.
I'll tell you this. I think nine is a rat line, and if I was a betting man, I would put money on this because the App State winning that game in James Madison, say what you want about that game. You always see this. Big road wins and then slow home starts. It would not surprise me if Georgia Southern came out and punched App State in the face early in this game and got up to like a 14-0 lead early, and then slowly but surely App State just chips their way back in and wins this game by a field goal or a touchdown. I'm picking App State too. I've watched Georgia Southern. I did not watch them this past weekend. I'll be honest. Again, I say it was my anniversary. We went out to dinner. And
you wouldn't have watched it anyway.
I wouldn't have watched it anyway. Let's be real. But I've watched Georgia Southern enough this year to know that Davis Brin, it's not really a Clay Helton problem, I don't think. It's a quarterback problem.
I agree.
You can't turn the ball over several times a game and expect to win football games. I mean, you take away the turnovers against Wisconsin, and you're talking about a potential Big Ten win for another Big Ten win for Georgia Southern. Take away the turnovers week in and week out. Marshall, you know, another one. Southern comes into the month of November rolling and is going to leave crying. I've got App State winning this game. But unfortunately, the Fighting Mountaineers of Boone, North Carolina, I went to an 8-4, and Southern crawling into God knows what Dollar General Bowl that they go to, but that will be what they do, and the people of Statesboro will go and be excited.
I can't believe we're doing this. Yes, I am. I was going App State. I was going App State anyway. I was going App State no matter what.
We don't pick Georgia Southern for weeks, and then the one game we pick, we all pick against them.
I will say a lot of what this is very Egg Bowl esque, and we're a lot of wacky shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Stuff always.
It always wacky happens this game.
The reason that one of the other reasons before Chad makes his pick that
I've already said it. So I mean,
but one of the reasons I feel like it's less wacky is this is the first time since the move to the FBS is this game's not on a Thursday. Wacky things have happened ever since it moved to the FBS because it's been a short rest week, Thursday night game in either Boone.
No, it was on Saturday last year.
It was?
Yeah, because we came down that weekend.
It was on Saturday last year. It's been Saturday the last couple of years. They flip-flopped Georgia State and App State because App State used to be a Thursday game like at the beginning of November, and now it's Georgia State.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be better. I like how they did it. I like Georgia State middle of the season, App State end of the season. I would like to see us play App State on a Friday because I think it would get more of that. Like, I feel like it deserves more of, like...
It's a group of five rivalry game, Witt. It's only going to...
It's important, though. People talk about
the fact
it.
People that it's do on, like this. The only people that like this rivalry are people that went to App State and Georgia Southern.
Dude, the fact that this
I've
game
met,
is on...
I've met people in Nashville
this game is
that
on
made
ESPN
a comment
U,
about
Witt.
It. That's awesome. That's better than the ESPN Plus we play on every other week.
That's what I'm saying. The fact that this game is on ESPN U is good enough.
I mean, that's what it is, though. But it's at 3:30 hidden behind the Iron
hidden
Bowl.
Behind the Iron Bowl. And whatever else is at 3:30.
Whatever ABC 3:30 game.
I'll be watching the Georgia Southern App State game over the Iron Bowl.
I will too.
Fun with that.
I actually will be. It's going to be on my second TV. I'm going to be watching.
I'm going to be watching it with Colette and Alex. So I'll be watching the Iron Bowl, but I'll be watching it on my phone.
If my work phone comes in before Saturday, I get it. I will put the Georgia Southern game on my work phone. While I watch the Iron Bowl.
I want proof.
What happened to your work phone?
It burned in a fire. in a car accident. And my truck exploded.
Continue.
Anyway.
Twice.
Anyway, I'm continuing in the fact that we are six games in and no one has picked different. And I'm picking App State.
We're either going to do really good or really bad.
Really bad, yeah. What if we all go 8-0?
I don't think we're not all cool. Going to pick the same games. I already know one game me and you are going to pick different.
I already know one game you and I are going to pick different.
So yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
I feel like I know a game that we're going to pick different.
Yeah, I know our game. Oh, God. Are you talking about the last game or the next game?
I don't know.
I think it's the last game, though. I think it's just going to be me. But, yeah, I'm picking. I don't really know what needs to be said other than what you guys said. Davis Brin just turns the ball over too much. We talk about this all the time. And, look, I love Georgia Southern. I hope they do well. But the move to the FBS, and we've had this conversation so many times, just means that you're in a spinning wheel of mediocrity that never stops. Because if Clay Helton were to go 9-3, someone's going to come get him. He's going to take a Power 5 job. And then what are they going to do? They're going to dip down to the FCS, and they're going to get the high new rising coach from Furman or Wofford or Elon or whatever.
Or fired Lincoln Riley.
Or fired Lincoln Riley or Dan Mullen. Or
my God, would that be a fun offense to watch.
Or Dana Holgorsen. Dana Holgorsen gets fired at Houston. He's a good candidate for
the
job.
I'm not a Dana Holgorsen fan.
I'm not either, but it's a move they'd make. You know it.
Well, yeah, because he's a name.
Exactly.
All right.
But the wheel of mediocrity, it spins and spins. When coaches leave or coaches get fired, you're in a position now in the group of five. It just keeps on spinning. Wheel of mediocrity never stops. And as much as I hate App State as a Georgia Southern alumni, I have to put respect on them as the best football program in the state of North Carolina. Year in and year out, Duke, North Carolina, NC State, you can get all mad in Raleigh and Chapel Hill if you want to. Your basketball schools. Facts. This is the best football program in the state of North Carolina. And I hate that I'm picking them, but what has Georgia Southern done in the past few weeks? I mean, you can't lose these games to Old Dominion and Marshall. You can't. Now, however, it would just be par for the course if Georgia Southern lost those two games and then turned around and beat App State and then went 7-5. It would be. But I'm going with App State here. And moving on, game number 7. Matt has a very big vested interest in this, so he'll go last. 3:30 on CBS, number 8, 10-1 Alabama, at 6-5 Auburn. Over-under in this football game, 48.5. Alabama, 14.5-point favorite.
I didn't know we were going the Iron Bowl. I thought we were...
No, we're picking the Iron Bowl.
Beautiful. I'm fine.
Oh, yeah, we're picking the Iron Bowl. Matt really is concussed.
He is, unfortunately.
How did we not pick the Iron Bowl?
I don't know. It wasn't on the list.
It was. Oh, I left it off the list. I accidentally put Clemson, South Carolina on the list.
I thought that I was geared up for the Palmetto Cup.
I thought we were
Palmetto
doing Clemson, South Carolina. Bowl. Dude, all right.
I did, too.
We're picking 9.
Do Clemson, South Carolina. Nine. No. We don't need to do the Iron Bowl. Is anybody going to pick Auburn?
Yes, we do.
Are you going to pick Auburn? Chad? Because I'm not picking Auburn. Matt's not going to pick Auburn. Are you going to pick Auburn?
But no.
Chad.
All right. Fine.
We're not doing that.
So we're all picking Alabama.
We're all picking Alabama. So don't even. All right. You can put that on the list.
But it wasn't on the list.
We don't need to talk.
I'm sorry. I meant to text it on the list, but I forgot. Yeah, I'm putting it on there, though.
Okay.
Put it on there. We're doing 9.
That's fine.
We're all picking Alabama.
It doesn't change anything, but yes.
Picking Alabama. All right, fine. To the Palmetto State rivalry.
The Palmetto Bowl.
7-4 Clemson. 5-6 South Carolina, 7:30 SEC Network, over under 51.5. Clemson is a touchdown favorite in Columbia Witt.
So this one interesting.
He's going sandstorms, baby.
I'm not. I've thought about it. I've gone back and forth. Clemson is starting to roll a little bit. They look okay. They look good again. I'm not saying, you know, bring this team to the beginning of the season, let them do what they did throughout the year, and they'd be a playoff team, because they're not. But they're a good football team. And South Carolina, I think they keep it close. Did you say what the spread is in this game?
7.
It's 7? All right, that's pretty solid. So I think it's closer than that. I think it's like a field goal to end the game type of game. I think South Carolina comes out firing. And it would not shock me if they beat them. But I'm going to go Clemson, and I think it's Clemson in a super, super tight game. But don't be shocked if South Carolina wins this one. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm high on Clemson right now. I think that right now Dabo Sweeney's coaching with a chip on his shoulder, and I was kind of thinking that y'all are both gonna go Cox here, because I was like, man, like, to me, Dabo Sweeney, ever since Tyler called in to his show, Tyler got him fired up. Clemson came together as a team and they started playing for Dabo, and quite frankly, Clemson right now is scarier than Clemson 6 weeks ago. Like, you let this Clemson team play that Duke game again, I think it's a different story. You let this Clemson team go and play in some of those other, in the Florida State game even. I mean, they played Florida State tough. They had that game won at one point, and Florida State went down the field and did what they did. I got Clemson in this one. I feel like South Carolina is right where they don't want to be, which is 8-4 one year, 5-7 the next year. 8-4, not the next year, there's going to be a little bit of hype. It's like, oh, well, you know, they go 8-4, and they're going to go 6-6. They're right where they don't want to be, because right now Clemson is starting to feel themselves a little bit until Dabo leaves and goes to College Station, Texas, where he takes over the Aggs. I'm going Tigers.
Here we are, all picking the same eight teams.
Dang it.
We're about to flex. Don't worry. I think we're about to flex. I don't know.
About to flex.
We're about to flex. Okay. So I know how we're going next pick. So it's all going to come down to that one game.
Yep.
Hopefully.
For me.
Hopefully. I'm going Clemson for all the same reasons you guys just said. Cade Klubnik and Will Shipley are finding their groove on offense. Garrett Riley's finding his groove and calling the plays. This Clemson team took a little bit to come together. And everybody, what did I say at the beginning of the year? Stop writing off Clemson. As long as Dabo is there, stop writing off Clemson. They had a down year, but they've gotten it together at the back half of the year. You mean to tell me that next year that they're not going to come out with that same Clemson energy that they're kind of building on right now? Like, there's just, it's falling the way that I thought it was going to fall. Clemson's getting their feet back underneath them late in the year. I think South Carolina will put up a fight. I said it last week. I think that Columbia, South Carolina is one of the hardest places to play in the entire country at Williams-Brice Stadium. However, I think Clemson's got some revenge on their mind for the fact that South Carolina fans stormed the field in Death Valley after they beat them last year. Shane Beamer, like Matt said, the roller coaster continues at South Carolina for that program, and Clemson finding their groove. I think it'll be close early, but I think Clemson will end up covering that line and pulling away late in the game, Clemson. Game number 9, which was only supposed to be 8. Sorry. 7:30. And I know we're flexing here. 7:30. Excuse me, 7 o'clock. ESPN, number 4, 11-0 Florida State, 5-6, my Gators. Graham Mertz, Jordan Travis, both are out. Battle of the backup quarterbacks, Florida bidding for bowl eligibility, Florida State bidding to keep their playoff hopes alive. The Swamp is sold out, and FSU is a touchdown favorite. Over-under is 50.5. Wit.
So after Jordan Travis went down for Florida State, I immediately switched my pick to Florida. Immediately. I mean, I was sitting there watching that game. I saw it happen. I was like, that's it. Florida has to go to, or Florida State's got to go to the Swamp and play against that surging Florida offense. I'm watching them against Missouri right now. They look great. They're playing the best football they've played all year until Graham Mertz went down for Florida. And Max Brown played well, but so did Tate Rodemaker, whose last name I have trouble saying. But Tate Rodemaker also played well. Granted, he played well against North Alabama. Max Brown played well against Missouri, who's a top 10 football team. I think the advantage goes to Florida in terms of quarterback, but Florida State is a sound football team. There's a reason they've been in the running for the playoff all season. And a lot of it's been defense. Their defense is really solid, led by Jared Verse, the edge rusher. He's going to go top 10 in the draft. Dude's an absolute superstar. I think he has a huge day. I think he eats Max Brown alive. So I'm going to say Florida State wins. I think Tate Rodemaker makes a name for himself, plays good football. He's playing same as Max Brown is. He's playing for the same reasons, a chance to start next year, And if he doesn't start, gets beat out by the big-time freshman that's coming in for him next year, he's going to want to get to skip out, go transfer, be a starter for another school. So I'm going to say Florida State in a very tight game. Very tight game. Same as last year. It'll be fun to watch. Matt.
Freshman out of Savannah, Georgia, by the way.
Rodemaker is?
Freshman out of... No. The freshman coming in next year out of Savannah.
From Benedictine.
Quarterback at BC.
Benedictine.
From BC. Yep. Mm-hmm. Plays North Oconee Friday night.
Yeah.
Be a good game.
Should be.
Matt,
I'm with Witt. I'm going Noles. And my reasoning is a little bit different. Here's the thing with Florida State. And I felt like a lot of people were doing what Witt did. As soon as Jordan Travis got hurt, they said, oh my God, Jordan Travis is done. Florida State's done. If I'm being honest, Jordan Travis has been nothing more than a game manager for Florida State this year, in the sense that it's been, he's made plays with his legs when he needed to. He hasn't turned the ball over. He only threw two picks all year. And that is what made Jordan Travis good for Florida State. He only turned the ball over twice. But if you look at what Jordan Travis did as a whole, to me, it wasn't anything superstar-esque. I don't really understand where the Heisman hype was coming from personally. Like, whenever he was getting it, is it because he was the quarterback of a team that was top four in the country? That's the only reason I could ever really come up with. I thought Jordan Travis was good, but not like he wasn't this spectacular special player. He was not Jaden Daniels on LSU. Like, take him away and they're nothing. Keon Coleman is still on that team. Keon Coleman is a top receiver in college football. That Florida State defense is legit. Florida State's defense is the only one that really quieted Jaden Daniels down all year. And granted, it was early in the year and there's a lot going on, but Florida State's defense matched Jaden Daniels for everything that they had. To me, part of the reason that Max Brown saw some success last week was Missouri was not at all prepared for the RPO stuff that they were going to be able to do with Max Brown that Grant Mertz isn't as comfortable doing. And Witt can attest to this. Whenever you throw a different style of quarterback in a game mid-game, it's tough for defenses to catch up with exactly what's going to be happening there.
I haven't experienced that, actually. So,
yeah, Witt's never experienced that.
Surprised you said that.
But in general, when you see that, now there's some film of what Napier's going to want to do with Max Brown. He's going to want to establish the run game to get him comfortable. But Florida State's defense, in my opinion, is faster and just as physical as Missouri. And now, and Missouri, that's not a knock on them. I think that they're a pleasant surprise defensively this year. I think Florida State's just really, really good. They are a legitimate top four team in the country. Obviously, Jordan Travis being there set them over the top because, like I said, he didn't turn the ball over. And that's what would have cost them games. I don't think that he was a difference maker. If Tate Rodemaker doesn't turn the ball over, I think Florida State wins this game by 10 still. I do think being in the swamp makes it tough for Tate Rodemaker, but I like the Noles. I think that defense and the rest of the offense picks them up. It's going to be a test, but I still like Florida State to win this one by 10.
Those are all fair points. Points I don't disagree with. But what do I have to lose? What does Florida have to lose? Ask yourself that. What does Max Brown have to lose? We have everything to gain. We have everything to gain. Keeping Florida State out of the college football playoff, potentially. Actually, in fact, I think if Florida State loses, they're out. Florida State knows they're going to Charlotte. The ACC championship game doesn't mean shit to the people of Gainesville or any Florida fan anywhere because that conference is beneath us. Even though we have two rivals over there, it is. It's beneath us. And if you're Billy Napier, and if you're this Florida team, you've lost four straight games. Two of those you could argue you should have won. A third you could argue you had a chance to win. Georgia was what Georgia was. Straight losses after being 5-2. I do not think that young team has a culture that's satisfied with losing. We have every single thing to gain this week. And like you guys said, Max Brown brings a different element to that offense that Florida State has not seen, and there's not a ton of film on it. You're talking about, what, two drives worth of film on Max Brown? There's no whole game plan in that. There's not. And this is Ricky Pearsall's last game in the Swamp. We don't know if this is Trevor Etienne's last game in the Swamp. Macho Johnson's leaving. I mean, Eugene Wilson, he's a freshman. And what better way to start or to round out your freshman year by making yourself bowl eligible and beating your cross-state rivals and ruining their national championship hopes? Swamp's sold out for a reason. The fan base, regardless of how toxic they can be about Napier, they want this game. This is going to be the best environment in the Swamp all year. And I was there for the Tennessee game. I was there for the Tennessee game, and that was a rocking place. I think it's going to be even more this Saturday. Knowing that Jordan Travis is out, and to put Rodemaker in this situation for his first start, I mean, dude's barely got any snaps over 3 years.
It's not his first start.
Is it not his first start?
Mm-mm.
Okay, first start of the season. First start of the season.
I'm pretty sure he started a game this year that Jordan Travis was hurt.
I think he started a game last year.
Was it last year?
It doesn't matter.
I think it was last year. I think Travis has been healthy this year.
It doesn't matter. He got hurt against Boston College, but I think he started the next week. And look at what Florida State did the rest of that game when Rodemaker came in against Boston College. See, well, they weren't that great offensively. I got nothing to lose. Neither do the Florida Gators. Neither does Billy Napier. This year's kind of a wash. Let's end Florida State's national championship hopes. I think there's too many variables at play. And it's a trendy pick. It's very kind of like Oregon State was last week. It's a very, very trendy pick, and I'm going with the Gators. Lucy, yep. We're glad you're back.
Florida State or Florida, Lucy?
Florida State.
All right. Lucy's going Florida State.
Lucy's going Florida State. We've got some more picks for you, okay, Lucy?
Not so fast, midget. Lucy's...
All right, Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
Mississippi State.
Whoa.
Okay. Whoa. You don't want Ole Miss to win? Wow.
She's a Bama fan.
All right, hold on. Let me get these in here.
Alabama or Auburn?
All right, Alabama, LSU or Texas A&M? Texas A&M. Okay.
Wow, another upset.
Louisville or Kentucky? She's just picking the second one.
No, because I said Alabama or Auburn, and she picked Alabama.
Okay. All right. Michigan or Ohio State?
Michigan.
Okay.
All right.
App State or Georgia Southern? Georgia Southern.
Nice, good pick.
Clemson or South Carolina? South Carolina. All right. She's already got Oregon State. I think she said Florida State, right?
Yep.
I think that was all we needed.
Good job, Lucy.
That's Lucy's picks, baby.
Lucy's picks.
Lucy rounds out the show.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into Rowdy Southern Saturday. If you enjoyed the episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Music, and follow our social media at Rowdy Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.